الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. The surah is extremely unique in the manner of how it explains how there will always be oppressors who will make a lot of oppression on the people of Iman. And what's happening in Gaza now is an example of it. The surah starts like when someone passes away, you go give tasalli. And when you go give tasalli, you tell them, don't worry, like, Allah is with you, don't worry. This surah starts like telling the people who are being oppressed, whether it's the people of Gaza, Aqsa, and do you really think Allah is not looking at you? The surah starts like that. The surah speaks about a cinch. So you don't have to worry of that one, no? Otherwise they put it off for a while. The surah speaks of a cinch. Now I'm going to make you think of this cinch. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in detail spoke about it. So what happened was, there was a king who lived not far from what we call today Makkah Mukarramah, Yemen. This king was a fire worshipper. And he ensured that no one in his kingdom ever dared to take what was the only faith, which was called Nabi Isa alayhi salam's religion. But Christianity was spreading. Everywhere it was going, slowly, slowly. So Christianity reached this area. And if he would hear anyone believing in a deity but him, so Allah Ta'ala made it that Christianity reached. One person taught it to a child. That child, Allah blessed him with a gift. He was able to cure people. He taught it to someone, and a few people started reading the Kalim. And the king became extremely upset. So he wanted to know who's teaching a religion here besides my religion. And when these people are brought, you have to picture this. This is not a story. This is real. And this is exactly how they torture in their torture chambers. When he brought the first person, he said to him, do you believe in me? And the person said, no. This person was the king's minister. He was blind for years. Someone said to him, go to this young boy. This boy will cure you. He came to the boy. The boy said, I cannot cure. Allah cures. But if you believe, I'll make dua. He believed. The boy lifted up his hands. He made dua. Allah gave him sight. He comes back to the king. The king says, since when can you see? He says, my Allah gave me sight. He says, since when do you have an Allah? Is there someone besides me? And now he starts hitting this person until this person speaks about the boy. The boy is brought. They start torturing the boy. The boy speaks about the man who taught him. Now you've got three people. First the minister is brought. He's told, will you leave this faith? The minister says no. So they take a saw. And while he's alive, they start cutting. Remember, this is no story. While he's alive, they saw him. He screams, and two people are looking at him, the boy and the man who caught the boy. And they cut him until he dies, but they carry on cutting. When you come here to the skull, it's not an easy cut. They carry on sawing until they break through the skull, and then they cut the whole body. And then when there's two pieces, imagine that blood. Then they say to the next man, what about you? And that man will say, I'll never leave an Allah. So they take the saw again, and in front of the boy they start. And he starts screaming. Imagine the boy. Allah Ta'ala gave this boy so much of courage. The boy said, I'm waiting. Now cut. So the king said, I will not cut you. I will torture you. So then thinking of torture, he says to his people, take him in the waters. When the waves are heavy, every now and then do the sitting. We're going to throw you. That's called torturing. Because in these torture chambers nowadays, they don't like to kill anyone. Once you kill someone, he's in Jannah. They don't like to kill. They punish, and you're on the brink of death, they send you hospital. Then you just get back again, they bring you back, punish, back to hospital. They don't want you to die. And they think that the way they can punish, no one can punish like them. وَلَا يُوثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدٍ Allah says, no one will tie up one like how Allah will tie up. Meaning Allah will punish one. But they take this boy, and as they're doing this, instead of the boy screaming, the boy says, oh Allah, suffice me. اللَّهُمَّ اكْفِنَاهُمْ بِمَا شِئْتَ When you suffice me, how you wish. The people in Gaza today are very small. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave what an example of one small boy fighting an entire kingdom. But that boy had one thing on his tongue, Allah, you suffice me. There was no one to stand up for that boy. No one. That one young boy survived like how the people in Gaza survives. So weak, so strong. They were. He had one word. And Allah Tabarakallah makes it that the ship of theirs, one wave hits it and everything falls. He also falls in the water. He also falls. But a plank Allah Tabarakallah makes come in front of him, he puts his hand on it and he survives. How much of courage he has. When he reaches land, everyone has died except him. But instead of running away, Allah inspires him, you'll go back to the king. It's called, he goes looking for Shahada. The king asked him, where have you come from? He says, from where I came. He says, where's my men? He says, Allah suffice. He becomes angry, they start torturing him again. Take him to the top of the mountain. And then tell him, we'll throw you, and fall. They take him to the top. As they're doing that with him, he says, Allah suffice. Allah Tabarakallah sends an angel and there's a shake of the mountain. But the angel is ordered, hold the boy. And as the mountain shakes one by one, the soldier starts falling. He's the only one who survives. And imagine standing on a mountain and not dying. He doesn't know an angel is holding him. Everyone is falling. He's just not falling. He makes it to the bottom. He goes back to the king, looking for Shahada. Where are my men? Allah suffices. Then he tells the king, and if you really want to kill me, there's an easy way. You don't have to do all this up the mountain, down by the waters. You just take an arrow. Take my arrow. I'll stand. Who you want to call? You want me to die in front of the people? Call the people. So the king gets very happy on this. He says, let me warn the world, meaning Yemen. I will kill this boy in such a manner that all of them will see it and not one of them will ever dare think of now believing in what he believes. That's what they're doing at the moment in Gaza. Bombing, thinking that people in the world will see it and become so scared that they'll never think of reading the Kalima. The opposite is happening. This boy says to the king, you want to kill me, take this arrow, put it in my bow, I will stand by this tree, you shoot. Which boy will ever come there and say, shoot? And when that arrow hits the boy just puts his finger like this. And he falls down dead. But he told the king, before you let that arrow go, you must say in the name of the Lord of the boy. And the king was so frustrated with him, the king said it also. And Allah Tabarakallah made many people came that day to see it. And Allah Pak made it, many of them heard what the king said. Either his voice was made or some heard it and they started telling. And now everyone started reading Kalima. Now the soldiers come and say, what you never wanted to happen, happened. So that was round one. When they fail in round one, they go wild. Wild is what's happening to them. You go wild. So many years they have tried to make sure Islam does not survive. And what things they tried. Now you go wild, where it's just not working, the opposite is happening. 100 years of effort they make. And the results after 100 years, you just see Islam getting stronger in the world. That the non-Muslims are now accepting. So they go wild, he went wild. And he ordered his soldiers, you must dig a trench. So the word trench in Arabic is Ukhdud. You see the word Ukhdud? Qutila ashabul. You will hear the word Ukhdud. Khad. Khad means a cut in the ground. So they cut in the ground a trench and then they were told light a fire. So from the one side of the trench to the other, there's a fire burning. It's something to think about, fire. That same fire is falling in Islam. And then the soldiers are going house to house. And they're asking the person in the house, who you believe in? Which person will normally say, I believe in Allah? You've got a fire burning. But the people of the houses were just saying, I believe in Allah. And they would say, you want to burn? They say, we are ready to burn. So they would pull them out of their houses. Nabi Islam said, people never had to be pulled out on that day. People happily walked into the fire. He says, only one woman pulled back. Because she had a child in her hand who was breastfeeding. Then the child stopped drinking and said, oh my mother, be patient. Because you are on the truth. When the mother heard the child miraculously speaking, the mother kept the child close to her and she walked away. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, people saw them entering in the fire, but they went straight into paradise. This incident was well known by the Arabs because it happened very shortly before the birth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Very shortly. So they knew it very well. Now you picture this when Allah is going to describe it. Almighty Allah will describe it in this manner. That those soldiers were sitting by the trench. Qutila ashabul ukhdud. The people of the trench, qutila, may they be killed. Qutila. May they be killed. Idhum alayha qurud. They were sitting by the trench and looking at the other people burning and they were laughing. And that's exactly what happens today. One bomb and then they start laughing. Look at that, look at that, look at that. Once upon a time they laughed. But the one who laughed in the past today is definitely crying. And the one who cried on that day today is definitely laughing. This surah is going to explain that. So for those who are writing translation, we will just go very quickly through the first verses of translation, then I tell you stop writing, and then we'll go through the rest of the surah fast, you will finish your translation later on yourself. Write the translation of was-samai, sama, by the oath of the sky, by the oath of the sky, dhatil buruj, buruj means castles. Now in the sky, what is the castle in the sky? The stars. A surah normally is going to speak about, don't think Allah doesn't know what's happening. Don't think Allah doesn't know what's happening. Because sometimes when these wars take place, people start saying, so where's Allah? So the surah starts, look at the stars. Those stars are so huge, they're like castles. But we all know those stars, number one, are not falling to the ground. And some of those stars are moving stars. And they're moving at what speeds? But when you look in the sky, you will never see one star banging into another star. Almighty Allah says, in the sky there are castles and castles. Every one of them we are looking after. When we're looking after the castles in the sky, you think we're not going to be looking after the places on earth. That we are not unaware of anything. Nothing can bang into something else unless we know about it. And when we don't want it, nothing happens. Say, look at the sky. So when you're going to think about Gaza, first you will look in the sky. Say, by the oath of the sky which got castles. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ وَالْيَوْمِ يَوْمْ means مَوْعُود promised. And by the oath of the promised day. Which day is promised? Qiyamah. So question number one, doesn't Allah know what's happening? He say, look in the sky. If Allah never knew what's happening, one star would have blasted the other star. Two stars would have fallen on your head and all would be dead. Allah knows what's happening. Question number two, so why is Allah not doing anything? وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ That by the oath of the day that has been promised. Meaning whatever you want to happen is going to happen. But you want it to happen now. Allah got another day for it to happen. وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ وَشَاهِدْ وَمَشْهُودْ Shahid is the witness. Mashhood, the one who is being witnessed. This is a unique qasam. By the oath of the one seeing. Example, me and you today, we either one of two. Either we the one seeing what's happening in Gaza. Or we are the people of Gaza who other people are looking at. The people of Gaza are mashhood and we are shahid. The angels are shahid, the people of Gaza is mashhood. The zalim is shahid, he's also witnessing. And the people are mashhood. Allah is shahid and the people are mashhood. And in every one of them, it's a unique thing to take a custom. Allah says, I take an oath on the one who's looking. Because one is looking and is laughing. It's something amazing. You see, I take an oath. How does he laugh? And then another one like me and you, we look. And life carries on. On that Allah takes a custom. I'm amazed. Some people look at it. And they don't do anything about it. Then the angels look at it and how they feel. Allah says, I take an oath on how the angels are looking at it. And then Allah looking at it. That's something really to take an oath. وَشَاهِدْ وَمَشْهُودْ And I take an oath on what is being witnessed. If you have to see that land, you say, this is something you can take an oath on. Blood, bones, leg in one place, hand in another place, a woman crying. Say something to be witnessed. Meaning, do you think Allah doesn't know? But it never only happened today, it's been happening. From the beginning and it will carry on till the end. But there's a witness for everything. وَشَاهِدْ وَمَشْهُودْ قُتِلَ قُتِلَ Killed. Here it is in the meaning of a baddua. But not I am making the baddua. This is the baddua of Almighty Allah. Allah doesn't make baddua. Because dua means a call. Qutila means Allah is giving information. That the people of the trench, they thought they were the killers. Qatil. In reality, they were killed. In reality, they were killed. The people who are bombing today think they are alive and the people being bombed are dead. Almighty Allah says, the one being bombed is alive. And the one bombing is dead. He called him dead while he's alive. Imagine when he's going to die, what he's going to be called. He called him dead while he's still alive. When that man is going to die, imagine then what he's going to be called. As for the man who's dead, because they blow a person up. And Almighty Allah says, don't ever call him dead, he's alive. When the dead man is called alive, imagine in Jannah what that man is going to be called. He's dead now. Everyone says, how many died? Almighty Allah said, no, how many are alive? So when the dead man is a martyr, he's called alive. Imagine what he's going to be called in Jannah. But as for the living man, the zalim, when he is alive and Allah calls him dead, what do you think he is going to be called when he really dies? And what will he be called when he sees Jahannam? He is going nowhere. That person is going everywhere. قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ Translate, قُتِلَ Killed. The people of the trench have been killed. قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ The people of the trench have been killed. النار, نار means fire. وقود means of fuel. Fire, filled with, we say coal normally. C-O-A-L, because that's the fuel of the fire. So the trench just had enough fuel, nowadays we call it oil. It's just burning and burning. That time it was called wood, it was called coal. The people of the trench have been killed. Is means when, whom. Whom means they. Alayha, upon the trench. Qu'ud, qa'id, plural, qa'id, sitting. When they were sitting on the trench. Meaning they were sitting there and looking at people burning. Can you think of that? You see men and women burning. And you sitting there and saying, let's have tea. But today the same thing they do. They can kill 100 people and go back and laugh about it. Some of them take out the ears and they start putting a pin through it. And they say, see my necklace. Some of them are cutting the nose, some of them cutting the fingers. Some of them are told, my commander said you only allowed 1 ear per body. Cut 1 ear, at least you got a necklace, one day you can show your grandchildren. See, I got 300 ears, meaning 300 bodies. They've done it. Their minds become so dirty, that they can sit and see people burning, and it makes no difference. The surah explained, وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُود They are, shuhud is the plural of shahid. Shuhud, witnesses on what they do to the believers. وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ نَقَمَا They did not punish them. Naqama, to punish. They did not punish them. Except a yu'minu, because they believed in Allah. That's what's happening in Gaza. The people are only being bombed because they refuse to submit. That's all. They're not doing any crime except they want to read the kalima. بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ Carry on from here. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ Verily those فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ فَتَنَا Who put to trial. Here we'll say who punish. Put to trial. Those who put the believing men and women in difficulty, then they do not make tawbah. Falahum, adabu jahannam, adab, punishment. Walahum, adabul hariq, a burning punishment. And when you're going to read this here, I want you to think of this. Allah is speaking to us about a nation at the moment who is bombing other people. فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ You are punishing the believers. For you, you put fire, I'll put fire. You say, we'll play fire with fire. As for the believers, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ For them will be jannat, gardens. This is an amazing thing. What's under water? Under the ocean. Ocean is water. Under water? Fire. Allah has kept fire under water. And on the day of Qiyamah, that fire will come up. You wonder, how does fire survive under water? Now, imagine a bomb falls. That's fire. So if fire could be kept under water, now you're going to get fire. So someone says, what's under the fire? A garden. Isn't it? Because Allah Ta'ala says, they are burning the believers. That's what they did, isn't it? They burned them. And Allah Ta'ala said, for the person who they burned, where he went? Into the garden. So one is Ibrahim alayhi salam, they shot him into a fire. And he really saw the garden. He went in the fire and he was in a garden. This fire, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Dajjal will come with fire. Whoever will fall in his fire will find himself in a garden. In the fire is the garden. And normally you will say, burn a fire. You can't get a garden after that. But that Allah who kept fire under water, He can keep a garden under fire also. So they bomb. And one huge fire goes up. And everyone starts crying. But the person who died goes straight into a garden. Straight into a garden. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Those who believe and do good actions, they get killed for Allah. لَهُمْ جَنَّاتِ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ Gardens under which rivers will be flowing. That garden, that river is under the fire. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرِ Fawz means success. This is the great success. Meaning at the end of the war, they say, who won the war? You say, the one who saw fire first and went from the fire into the garden. He is 100 million times better than the one who was outside the fire. And they were sitting outside the fire. And they're going to go straight into the fire. Inna batsha rabbik. Batshins means the grab. Indeed, the grab of your Rabb is severe. Batsha rabbik. So then someone will say, so Allah, when you are so powerful, then why is it that you allowed some people to make so much of zulm on others? Innahu huwa yubdi'u wa yu'id. Yubdi'u means to start, yu'id means to repeat. Allah is the one who starts a nation. And that nation comes up. And then they become strong. Then they become an oppressor. Then Allah brings them down. But when He brings one nation down, He brings another one up. In the world, how many tried to oppress Islam? Forget before, in Islam, we had one nation who came, they were known as the Tatars. They came. They came from Mongolia, Mongols. Allah was the one who started it. And Allah brought them down. They were the Crusades, Christians. Allah made them become strong, strong, strong. They took over. Allah brought them down. Yubdi'u, He starts it. One goes, wa yu'idu, He brings another one. Repeats it. Then came the time where there was Russia. They were like barbarians, bears. Allah allowed them to become strong. Then Allah repeated, He made another one come. United Kingdom. Gone. Then Allah brought another one, United States. And now almost gone. And Allah allowed one, Israel. إِنَّهُ يُبْدِعُ وَيُعِيدُ He starts it and He repeats it. Repeats it. Every one of them came with the hope of being successful in destroying Quran. The surah will end, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ That you are fighting with a mighty Quran. It can't. فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ It's already in a protected tablet. Meaning no matter how much you will try to destroy it, this Quran is protected and this Quran will create its protectors. The Quran is protected, it will create its protectors. The whole war is Islam and in Islam it's Quran. And when Quran wants itself to be protected, It's an amazing thing. Quran is already protected. Quran is already. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was protected. So when he went for hijrat, he told everyone, carry on. And he told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you stay. You'll be my companion. But on the journey, he never needed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to protect him at all. So Suraqa bin Malik was non-Muslim. He accepts Islam later on. He's a master tracker. And everyone wants the booty. 100 camels will be given if you can find him. Someone tells Suraqa, they are on death route. Now Suraqa wants to catch them, nobody else must catch them. So he hears, and now he doesn't want anyone to go on that route. How Allah wants to protect him, that the man who's supposed to catch him is the man keeping the other ones away. So Suraqa in his mind is, if they're on that route, and everyone is going to now run that way, then they all going to catch them, and I won't get that 100 camels. So Suraqa says, you're talking rubbish. I already came back from that side. There's no one on that route. It was somebody else. And the man says, hey, maybe I'm mistaken. But Suraqa already got in his mind, that's the way to go. And the other one was saying, if Suraqa came and there's no one there, then this man must have seen wrong. So everyone stays. When Allah wants to protect, even the enemy becomes a protector. Even the enemy. Suraqa. That's how you would say. A Donald Duck. He also sometimes says, I made truce. Say, you made truce. You like, you the enemy, you don't know what you're doing also. The enemy used. So he goes. While he's going, and he's a master fighter, Suraqa. He accepts Islam here, later. Master fighter. He's telling the people. He says, I got my horse ready and we start. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu picked up that someone is behind. So he starts becoming worried and he's turning around, turning around. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never even turned. Never turned. He says, who's there? Just walking normal. And as Suraqa is coming, his horse slips. A horse that never slipped, slips. And in the desert, when your horse slips, you can't jump out and start running and chasing the enemy. You need your horse. So it takes him a while to get that horse right. One thing, my horse never slipped. And Allah's Nabi just walks normal. How protected he was. And then Suraqa will slip again. Finally, Suraqa will say, like, you know what? Peace, like, if this horse is not going to come out of the sand, I'm going to die in the desert. Please, peace, like, I won't attack you. I'll actually help you. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now turns. When he turns, when there's no fear. When there was fear, he's not turning. Protected. How well protected. And Suraqa will say that I won't accept Islam. But what I will do is I'll go back. And I'll tell the people who will be meeting me that I already went on this route. There's no one here. So now no one is going to come on this with Jordan and carry. How protected. But when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes in the battle of Uhud, how protected he is. If he stands, and he did it, in the battle against the people of Taif, he stood, and arrows were flying. And if you understand, when you say hundreds of arrows, that's how they used to shoot, hundreds, like rain is coming. And normally when you have the arrows, you have someone to put up a shield. So all the arrows hit the shields, then you lift up the shield, then you shoot. In that state, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is moving on the battlefield with no shield. And someone is trying to pull him back, because he's going to go into the enemy. Arrows are flying. And he says, I am the Nabi of Allah. There's no lie in this matter. What you worried about arrows hitting me? It will pass this year, that year, above me, everywhere. It's not going to hit me. I'm going. How protected? But in the battle of Uhud, he says this, when the enemy are coming. He says, who will stand for my protection? So a group of the Ansar stand up. a few of his very close companions stand up. One arrow is coming, the Sahabi puts his hand there, it hits the hand becomes numb, he loses his hand. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would later on say, you want to see a man of Jannah who's still walking on earth, look at this one. He gave his hand for him. Another Sahabi says, my body in front of you. He stands like this. Then he says, how can my back face the face of the Nabi of Allah? So he turns around. And my chest will protect you. Now when he can't see, the arrows are just hitting his back, and he's just taking arrow after. But if Allah's Nabi wanted, he could have told all of them, stand aside, for Allah has protected me. I don't need your protection. But he called, who will stand for my protection? Because that was the day when Allah was going to choose protectors. And how lucky those protectors were. Now Quran, the surah ends, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنُ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. That this Quran is a unique Quran. And it's already protected. Meaning, Quran doesn't need any protector. The whole world will try to fight this Quran. Even if Quran stands with no one in front, Quran will defeat all of them. Because it's divinely protected. But, Allah made it such that Quran announced, who will protect me? The Hafiz is the protector of the Quran. The Alim is the protector. The Mujahid is the protector. The surah is to say, when you're seeing zulm happening in the world, do you really think Allah doesn't know about it? Look at the stars. He's in control of the stars. You think he's not in control of one small earth? But the zalim will sit and laugh, and Allah is watching. One is going to go in the fire, and one is going to enjoy in paradise. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْجُنُودِ. Junood means armies. Has the talk of the armies not come to you? First army that everyone knows is Fir'aun. And the second army is Thamud. The difference between Fir'aun and Thamud? Who knows Fir'aun very well? Nabi Musa alayhi salam's people. And who are the people of Musa alayhi salam? Bani Israel. And today what we call them? The Jews. The Jews know Fir'aun very well. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْجُنُودِ Fir'aun. Did you forget Fir'aun? When there was no one to destroy Fir'aun, we brought Fir'aun in his own destruction. Look at this. How was Fir'aun destroyed? Fir'aun left Egypt, where he was protected with so many lovely gardens and forts. And he ran into his destruction. The Jews of Israel, once upon a time, they were not there. They were in other parts of the world in lovely gardens. They left their gardens to go chasing for something which you can't catch. Just like Fir'aun. Which Quran mentions, we pulled him out of his garden. We pulled Fir'aun out of his garden. Otherwise Fir'aun could have thought that to catch Musa alayhi salam, I'm the king. Does a king go chase somebody? You're supposed to sit with your wife and tell somebody else, go catch him. Allah Ta'ala says, we pulled him out from his nice bed, from his nice garden. أَخْرَجْنَاهُمْ مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونٍ وَزُرُوعٍ وَمَقَامٍ كَرِيمٍ. We pulled them out. They never thought they're going. And in that night, Fir'aun is going further and further away. When the Jews came to Israel, once upon a time, they were not there. Allah brought them, whatever brought them, they went like Fir'aun. And when Fir'aun was in the center, the command of Allah came and everything was destroyed. On these people, Allah's command will come. Fir'aun. Thamud, the people of Thamud were Arabs. The people of Thamud were Arabs. Arabs will know very good about Thamud. And who the message is given to? That when the shayateen forces wanted to make sure no one fights against Israel, who they had to buy off? The Arab countries around Israel. Arab puppets had to be put as leaders, put as military, put as soldiers, Arabs. Allah Ta'ala says, have you forgotten Thamud? They were also Arabs. They were also Arabs. And how stubborn these are, they were just as stubborn. Because they wanted to see a miracle. So they said, show us a camel. They said, show us a pregnant camel. They said, show us a camel pregnant coming out from a rock. What a miracle they saw. Today's Arabs, they saw the miracle of Quran. Because every one of them knows Quran. Everyone. They read Quran. Those people, they knew the camel, they recognized the camel, they knew it from Allah Thamud. And then they said, we'll kill the camel. The puppet Arabs, they understand Quran, they convince it from Allah, they know the language better than me and you. We don't know the language, we have to look at the screen. When someone is reading, they know it is. And if that man reads, Hal Ataka Hadithul Junud Fir'auna wa Thamud, they'll hit that person and say, shut up. How they hit the camel of Allah, these people will hit Quran. You say, you are like Thamud. The sign of Allah in front of you, and you say, I'll kill that sign also. Hal Ataka Hadithul Junud Fir'aun wa Thamud. But in the ending, when Allah's decision came, no Fir'aun, and no Thamud. Allah's decision. بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي تَكْذِيبٍ. But no matter how much examples will be given, the people of Kufr will remain in denial. They'll carry on saying, we're going to win the war. وَاللَّهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ مُحِيطٌ. And Allah has encompassed them all. بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. Right? Now inshallah your screen will read for you. This is the first time when you're seeing Dajjal becoming Muslim. Hey. Forget your thing. You just keep it there and Quran reads. See, we need a Quran. وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ. What kind of that? لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ. Quran is not there to help him. Quran is there to help us. It's working. Ready? Okay, let's give Yusuf a chance first.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Pay attention nicely.
والسماء ذات البروج واليوم الموعود وشاهد ومشهود قتل أصحاب الأخدود النار ذات الوقود إذ هم عليها قعود وهم على ما يفعلون بالمؤمنين شهود وما نقموا منهم إلا والله على كل شيء شهيد إن الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ذلك الفوز الكبير ربك لشديد إنه هو يبدئ ويعيد وهو الغفور الودود ذو العرش المجيد فعال لما حديث الجنود فرعون وثمود بل الذين كفروا في تكذيب